Tuesday, May the 16th is called to order. It would be incumbent upon us to look at the approval of the agenda. Are there any changes proposed to the agenda? A motion to accept the agenda would be in order. Move Councilor Freilich, second Councilor Fisk. Any discussion? Any questions? All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. It's approved. Unanimously. Let the record note that Councilor Johnson is absent today. Under 1.2, approval of the minutes for April 18th, 2017 meeting. Moved by Deputy Mayor McLeod, seconded by Councilor Fancy. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We will now move to 1.3, public comment session. Any member of the public gallery would like to speak today? You know the drill, Leon.
I'll be first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leon Roberts of Cottage Street in Liverpool. Just like to mention, Mr. Mayor, it was nice to hear the couple of announcements there in the last week there with respect to the Fire Street development and also the Queen's Crossing. The development was closed for there. It's good to hear. I just had one question on that. The development there at Queen's Crossing is in the Persian sale agreement, will there be a timeline there for the development to start? I'm thinking that we've sold land before and it's laid vacant for a number of years, and I'm wondering if a similar thing may happen here. In other words, we can't expect the development to start tomorrow, but there should be a timeline there for them to get started with the agreement.
I would defer that to the CAO to respond to. You would like?
Sure. I can confirm that there is a buyback clause in the agreement, so we've attended to that.
Yeah, there'll be a time period there. Because I'm thinking, you can have that land for quite a period of time, and there might be somebody else that can come along and develop it in the meantime. So I just wanted to mention that. The other thing is under 3.1, communication strategy. Just a couple things. I know in the past, as far as the taxpayer is concerned, we used to have a newsletter that would come out every quarter, I think it was, and provide information to the public. I know it costs a bit of money to do that, but we don't get that anymore. It hasn't been on the agenda for a while.
Leon, there has been a newsletter published shortly after Christmas.
Yes, it was at Christmas time, I realize.
Yes. We traditionally do publish a newsletter regarding the budget information, and I expect that you will soon have a newsletter in your mailbox.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And the other thing is, I just want to mention, I know a few years ago, our counselor, Councilor Hamlin, when he was in, he used to have meetings a couple times a year with his constituents and have a public meeting, and he would go there and he would provide an update and ask questions as well.
There has been some discussion in that regard, and I will leave that to each counselor to attend to.
Right, yeah, each to their own, right?
Yes.
Okay. The only other thing I just want to mention is information from the in-camera sessions is kind of difficult because you go in-camera, you don't know when the meeting is over. We can come back to regular session and provide you information and make your motions and so on in the public. And I don't know how you get around that.
If we had a really good crystal ball, we might be able to achieve that, but in view of the discussion that occurs, it's problematic, as you know.
I don't think it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Leon. Councilor Fancy?
Yes. To go along with what Leon is saying, I know in Milton, we have our Milton Community Association meeting, annual meeting every year, and I always go there to meet with the public, but it's changing. People don't want to come out to meetings. You might be able to. Some other people may be more successful, but I haven't been very successful in getting people to come out.
Thank you, Councilor Fancy. Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I'm attempting to have a public meeting tonight at Brooklyn Community Hall for my district, so we'll be able to determine then how much interest there is in having just little social gatherings.
Thank you. Councilor Freilich.
In the past 6 months, we've been doing skate and chat with your counselor in an attempt to combine physical activity, which also includes walking as well. So there have been opportunities. The last one was held on Friday, and I was the only one attending.
Thank you for representing everyone.
Not much chattering going on.
Everybody's
there were conflicts of meetings on that day, unfortunately.
I know, but the public is biased of those, and
Thank you, councilors. So we will move on now to 2.1, Queen's Place Advisory Committee meeting update. I would ask Mike Anthony if he would come forward to the presentation desk.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity. Our advisory committee has been up and running since the fall of 2016. And I know there are some councillors who sit on that committee and also some staff from the region of Queens, but just want to take an opportunity to check in with council. We provide the minutes, but that's really a one-way avenue of communication, and just wanted to have an opportunity to have some two-way communication on where the committee is at, what we've been doing, and kind of bring council up to speed on that. So I don't know if we need to, how often we need to do this, but certainly I think at this point it was time. So. It's just a little background on the committee. As I mentioned, we've been up and running since the fall of 2016. One of the first things we did is we created a little bit of a work plan. As you know, the amount of work and the amount of interest and the amount of things over there can be extensive and in some cases a bit overwhelming. So we tried to bring it into something that we considered to be manageable. As a result of that, we prioritized some topic areas. Our first topic area was, first priority was youth. The second was the lobby area of the facility. Our third is the arena. Fourth are the rooms, the community room, the boardroom, and the rental space. The fifth is the track. Sixth is the fitness center and the studio. Seven is the outside space. Eight is seniors. And we recently added a ninth, which was marketing and promotion. So to date, we are just wrapping up our discussions about youth. So of the nine topic areas, we've taken several months to get through the first topic area of youth. And even the youth discussions, one of the first things we did is try to put some parameters around youth, because youth can mean different things to different people. So we actually broke our youth down into different age groups, starting from 0 to age 4, then kind of the middle, Wickwire school age kids of 4 to 9, the middle age school of 9 to 13, and then the high school age kids up to age 18, because activities and interests and programming and those sorts of things can be different to those different age groups. So also in our decision-making process, we have introduced the use of an evaluation matrix. So when we reach a point where we feel we want to have some decision on a specific topic, we use an evaluation matrix to make sure that we are all talking and coming from the same direction. And that matrix is based upon some information that you'll find in the terms of reference. So we evaluate each topic on financial impact, social impact, health impact, economic impact to the region of Queens, impact on existing users of Queens Place, health, safety, and risk management of Queens Place, impact on Queens Place human resources, impact on Queens Place monetary resources, and does the activity exist anywhere else in the region of Queens. And we evaluate those on a matrix from either no impact to high impact. And sometimes high impact is good, and sometimes high impact is bad, depending upon what it is you're talking about. So every time we reach a topic of discussion, this is every member's asked to fill this out. We bring it back, and we work from a consensus on whether we feel that this is something that we're going to be moving forward. At our next meeting, we expect to wrap up our youth. And at that point, an official report will be provided back to council based upon the decision points we've made and the items that we feel need to be moved forward, or we would like to see move forward to council as further discussion points on what happens with these specific topic areas. We also understand that our group is not necessarily a decision-making group. We are there to look at suggestions, look at recommendations, and move things forward. To council. Our hope is, and one of the reasons I'm here today, is to help council understand that our process in which we use to do this is very well thought out. We have a diverse committee who speaks from a variety of different spectrums and a variety of different user groups, so that when we provide a report forward to council saying these are some of the things that we believe are in the best interest of Queens Place and the residents of the region of Queens, that you'll know that it comes from a solid base of discussion, input, diversity, and it's not just something that, you know, we kind of, you know, raise our hands and vote on or move it forward. There is a well thought out process in moving things forward. We've also provided input to the previous manager at Queens Place, and on a couple things that have been brought forward to us as special items of discussion. If there are things that are requiring immediate decision or are hot topics that the advisory committee can provide some input on, we have done that, and we will continue to do that. But our goal is to work through agenda items very systematically, very purposefully, and provide information. So, for example, we recently gave some feedback on some potential corporate membership to the fitness center. But that will come back to the table when we talk about the fitness center very specifically. So if there's a one-off item that we need to talk about, we will do that. But all those items will come back to a very, very thorough discussion when we talk about that specific component of Queens Place. So I don't know if you have any specific questions for me or anything that you would like to know. But again, I wanted to come here to kind of bring you up to speed on where we are where we're going.
Councillors, have any questions or comments? Councillor Kelly?
Hi, Mike. Yeah, very good. And I follow some of the work you've been doing over there, and it looks like, yeah, I love the process that you're going through. So what kind of timeline is this? You've got a lot of things on this, and you're starting with youth. So how long do you put for each one?
Yeah, we didn't attach a timeline because we weren't sure. We wanted to give it as much time as we felt we needed, and we prioritized those. So we said, where will we start? And the decision was to start with youth.
Okay.
There was a consensus to say this is how we will rank them 1 through 9. Not to say one's more important than the other, but that is how we did rank them.
Right.
We didn't get into timelines because, again, we didn't want to potentially sell ourselves short. We said it would take as long as it will take. And we'll move as quickly as we can move. We also talked about trying to break out into maybe subcommittees to make things a little bit faster. But what happens then is then you're dependent upon a group of people to get together again.
Yeah.
Then those group of people make some decisions and choices to come back and report to the bigger group, of which again you need to try it. So it really didn't seem to be a more efficient way to do our work. Our group is 12. So it's a fairly large group, and the other thing I've committed to is we start at 6 and we end at 7:30.
Right.
So if you come in 5 after 6, you're late, and if you're sitting there at 7:35, then I haven't done my job. Because everybody is there, our volunteers, everybody there is busy, and that's not to take away from the important work we do, but it is important to hold right timelines. Otherwise, we could be there for God knows how long, and some people would enjoy that and some people would not. So.
But what you're saying is when you have things to discuss with each one, you know, if there's something that seems relevant right now, you would discuss it. You would
absolutely.
And then put things into those groups. Can I ask one other question first? What is the process for someone like myself if I have an idea for Queens Place or I see something regarding Queens Place? Is there a process that I can put that through so it gets talked about and discussed?
We, for the youth items, we took some of the information that was gathered through the consultations within the school with youth. So we look kind of back at what's already been suggested or talked about. And now I'm speaking for something that maybe I shouldn't, but I'm sure the staff at Queens Place and Megan, the manager over there, would be the avenue to bring anything for you. Richard, up.
Yes. So if any member of the public has a question or an idea and wants it directed to the Queens Place Advisory Committee, no different than us forwarding correspondence to council. So if there was, can you look at this idea, we would forward it to the committee to review and do their work with. So whether it's through staff, particularly Megan, who is the staff liaison with the committee, or I'm sure if the chair received something, he would discuss during agenda review with staff, and we would look at those things. But it's probably easier to give Mike some structures that came through staff, and we'll make sure it gets to the committee.
So the first point of contact is Megan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Mike, you're doing a great job chairing it and very organized, as you can probably tell by your report today. And focusing on the youth, you know, the committee made a recommendation for the Xboxes to be implemented there, and that seems to be working. And that was one of the suggestions from the group of young kids that came here from South Queens Middle School when they made a presentation to council. And that document that they presented, their list, was considered, and that's how we came up with some of those ideas.
Yes, and just to Susan's point, there are some things that come up in discussion that we feel are things that we can move forward with quickly, and one of those were Xboxes, the installation of the Xbox. The other was the encouragement of the use of strollers on the walking track. Again, when we looked at that the 0 to 3 group, we weren't providing a whole lot of service to babies and to infants. So if there are what we call quick fixes or easy things, most people on that committee they want to have things done and they want things to happen quickly and as efficiently as possible. So we don't want to bog down processes if we need to. Although if we evaluate something that comes up with a high impact on monetary resources, that's not something that we can say we want to happen tomorrow. So.
Still in, and you're going forward, and you had listed all the different topics that we will be discussing as a group. But finances has to be in there somewhere, and that's going to be a big topic of discussion.
Yeah.
That's where the public really came into play.
Yeah, finances kind of fits into all these different kind of user groups, and we know the bottom line at Queen's Place is what the bottom line is, and that is of interest or concern to everybody. But rather than trying to just address the bottom line as a number, we've chosen to look at the bottom line through the user groups, through the activities, through what is happening at Queen's Place. So rather than trying to go in and say the bottom line is X and we want to reduce it to X or we want to increase it X, within each of these areas, there are, and that's why we evaluate what is the potential for monetary increase in all these activities. So to look at the impacts of bottom lines through user groups, through user activities, through trying to track some of the people who may not be using Queen's Place now, rather than strictly come at it as a monetary piece and say we want to get the bottom line to X or we want to impact it either positively or negatively in this type of a number.
And I'd also like to see more of the public attender meetings. They're open to the public.
Yes, they are.
And I think maybe we should promote that more, that we might get some of the general public go. They can sit in the discussions, not participate, but they can. That's when your ideas can come from.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillor Fisk, next.
Mike, an excellent verbal report.
Thank you.
One thing I really appreciate, one thing you did say, that you conduct your meetings from 6 o'clock to 7:30, and you're out of there. I think you will get more out of your meetings by doing that, because there'll be more interest in trying to get onto all the things in place in that short of time, and you don't gain anything by going over 2 or 3 hours.
Thank you
very much. Very well put together.
Thank you.
Councillor Fancy?
Yeah, Mike, I wondered too if you considered looking at things like I know there was some in school programming and things to help out kids that couldn't financially work with to get to some programs and such as, because I've worked with them through tennis and such as
right.
Before, and also too like Jumpstart and others that you'd be able to search out to find out if there's some needs and be able to put that together with the people, because there's always that missing link, and then even it could be doctors or working with them, because it used to be a program with the doctor to give out some vouchers and things to go. But that's for the older people to get there. And I don't know how much, because I remember I talked to Dr. Woodford years ago, a couple of years ago, and he said, I think they stopped the program, I think. And so it's things like we're trying to link them together to find out for people who have needs and be able to get that.
That's a good point. We haven't talked about that specifically, but I will put that back in. I see that kind of as a marketing and promotion piece of how we market the services and how we promote the services of Queen's in place. And one of them is there are a number of programs out there that would help offset either the cost of equipment, the cost of registration, or all those sorts of things. So yeah, that's I'll take that forward. Thank you.
Councillor Kelly?
Mike, on the list that you have, it's a pretty extensive list. What does the committee feel like are the next priorities? If you had to pick three out of the list that you gave us.
Well, I would say just because we did rank them, youth was the first priority, lobby was the second, and arena was the third. So if I were going to say those were the top three, those would be the top three. Now, mind you, when we did this, there were a number of things I think that might have impacted our a bit of our decision-making process there. So the lobby,
right.
At that point there was discussion about, you know, the use of the lobby, farmers market going into the lobby, all those sorts of things. So there was some, I think the committee was feeling some, not some pressure, but it was on everybody's mind saying the lobby is so that's why it, I mean, when you look at the lobby as in the big picture of Queen's Place, is it gonna be a huge revenue generator, or is it gonna have, you know, but I think the thought process was, is there, we need to look at that because there, that is a hot, not a hot topic, but a topic of discussion. And if we were gonna, I guess, prioritize it based upon, you know, the biggest impact or what happens the most, we would put it into the arena piece, because that's where a large part of the revenue comes from, that's where the concerts, the food, the expos and stuff happen. But we all know that youth is, and has always been, an important discussion point. So that's where we thought that we would start. Is that going to significantly change the bottom line of Queen's Place? Probably not, but it was everybody felt it was an important place to start our discussion.
Right. And as far as the arena, I mean, that's really why you have staff working to get those events in there. So this advisory committee is more about, it's on the outside of all of that that they can.
One of the things we look at when we look at each of these areas is we evaluate what is presently there existing,
right.
And is there an opportunity to enhance that service, to change that service, or in some cases bring in something totally new or something different. So we kind of look at what exists, is that working, isn't that working, what tweaks or changes could we make, and what potential new types of things could be brought into that. We kind of broke the facility up into pieces. So we're going to deal with the arena piece,
mm-hmm.
what is going on in the arena piece, what recommendations, suggestions would we have associated with that, and what isn't going on in there that maybe could be going on in there, and then we would evaluate that and say we would recommend that this be looked at further.
Great, thank you.
Any other councillors, questions or comments? Well, thank you, Mike, for the presentation.
Thank you. Yeah, we probably don't need to be here monthly, but quarterly or something is probably not a bad thing.
That would be excellent, and council does appreciate the good work of the team.
No. Well, we have an excellent committee where our attendance is very good, participation is very good, so it's, you know, our work is contribute to our committee as a group, not just individuals. So thanks for your time.
CAO's office, and number 3.1, Heather Cook is going to give us a presentation today in the communication strategy.
Yeah.
It's all yours, Heather.
Good morning, everybody.
Good day.
Hey. So yes, I've been asked to have a look at the communication strategy, and of course it's been a few years since we have. I'm going to go through my presentation. And at the end, you can all ask a bunch of questions if you'd like, because that's all about communicating, right? So why communicate? We have an obligation to keep the public informed of the activities of council and the direction that we're taking the council. And also communications aligns with council priorities. The overall goal for our communication strategy is for the region of Queens Municipality to have an informed public, knowledgeable about the region's plans, priority, growth, and progress. So that is the overarching goal of our. Why update the strategy? We already have one. Why would we bother updating it? In 1996, we amalgamated, and soon after, in 2001, they developed the communication strategy. but a key piece at that point in time was missing. They had put in the strategy that it needed someone assigned to make it move forward, and never really assigned anyone to do that task. So they did it for a while, and then it kind of just went to the wayside. In 2014, we updated and revamped our communication strategy. And prior to that, I was put in the role of, part of my job was looking after communications. Oh, sorry, I'm not keeping up. Thank you. I'm just talking. Sorry about that. Anyhow, so yes, I was assigned to have part of my job be communications in 2013. And in 2014, we updated and revamped our communications strategy. Primarily the reason in 2014 that it was resurrected and revamped and changed quite significantly was the closure of the mill. We had a responsibility to try and buoy spirits in the community, and we made some changes there to try and encourage the community and move us towards recovery. Why are we updating again now? Our communication strategy is a living document, and it requires updating periodically as things in the community change. We now have a new council, and they have new priorities. The community's moved from crisis now to recovery, and our economy is recovering as well. So what's new or changed? As I said, in 2014, we were trying to move from crisis to recovery. In 2017, we're in recovery now, and we're moving towards prosperity. Now we have a number of successes. The mill closure's now coming up on a 5-year anniversary. We can be more focused on the big picture now, as opposed to trying to keep spirits up. The community is up. We've had a lot of happy, good news things happen. We've also had some other activities happening, but we've had some changes. So in the communication strategy, the things I'm looking at changing are the overarching themes of communication. Of course, those reflect the strategic priorities that council has, which are growing the population and economy. Thank you. I panicked. Delivering desirable municipal services and governing to the best municipal practices. So those are our overarching themes of communications. The tone of communications is going to be changing somewhat as we're moving forward. It's less cheerleading, more realistic. The spokesperson role will be changing somewhat as we've been talking with the mayor and council. We've expanded how that spokesperson role will roll out. The mayor will continue to be our official spokesperson, and when he's not available, it will continue to be the deputy mayor. But we've also added our CAO in that capacity. We're also going to be establishing service standards for media and public. Because of the amount of time that's spent on communications, we should have a standard delivery of when responses should be able to be back to people to reflect the amount of time that we spend on it. And social media, the tempo of information has changed. It's a very, over the last few years, our Facebook page was very, very busy. We've slowed it down somewhat and are trying to focus on not having it be such a frantic page, but more very direct information. And we're working on developing a stronger relationship with the media. And also, I'm putting a section in about EMO communications. Our previous strategy didn't touch on that, and that's now become, it seems like in the last year or two, we've had a few more crisis situations where EMO has been involved, and we've been communicating information out. So I'd like to add a section to that to say how we do that. how much communications? We have an obligation, as I mentioned, to the public to provide them with information. We also have a relationship with the media, and we have to strike a balance with the resources allocated, being people, power. So when I started doing the communications piece for the region, it was expected to take a day, day and a half of my work week. It's now up to about 80% of my work week is spent dealing with communications. So it's good because we are getting the word out and we're growing our reputation, the reputation of the region as a source of reliable news and accurate information for the public. So. And, okay, what are we doing well? This isn't meant to be a pat on the back or anything for us. It's just intended to, these are things that we've got established and are doing well and can kind of push, maintain that momentum, but sort of push it off and focus on the things that come on the next slide. We do, our social media piece is done well. We have lots of information going out. It will also be on the next slide. We also are proactive on positive news in our community and also the challenges to our community. Getting the good news stories out is fun. And in the past, we hadn't been quite as, I guess, forthcoming with our lesser challenging news. But we're getting better at that, and we'll continue to improve on that. The public know more now overall than they did 5 years ago. Each meeting of council since November, we've had at least usually one, sometimes two and three media releases coming out of council. So through our own sources, social media and our website, and through the media, the public is being informed that way. We're also have the audio recordings now up on the website over the last couple of years. We have our policies and bylaws added to the website, and there's just more information about the municipality and the actions that you folks and staff are taking. It's an information age, so there is more information available. Our staff are now much more informed. Every news release we send out goes to staff first. We didn't used to do that years ago. Staff sort of found out at the same time as everyone else, and that was a bit of a challenge because sometimes they would get phone calls and would have no idea what they were talking about. So in making sure that our staff is either briefed prior to via email or in person, or gets the news release so that they see what the public is seeing beforehand, it makes them a more informed, engaged staff, makes them feel more part of the team, and are prepared for questions and comments they may get from the public. And communications has become part of the decision-making process. At most meetings that we're at, it comes up in conversation, you know, how are we going to communicate this? How are we getting this out? Where does this need to be posted? Who needs to know? So it is, it's often thought of early in the process and sent out, and then we do updates through the process now. So what can we do better? We can always improve, and we strive to do so. One thing which Leon mentioned was face-to-face community engagement. Not all residents can come to us. We have to make efforts to go to them a bit more frequently. We can host community meetings and town halls in various communities with staff and council, or the mayor. Our municipal matters, as the mayor mentioned, has been reinvigorated and revamped, and includes, it didn't, in previous incarnations, didn't have information from district councilors. This new newsletter does, which is a nice touch because people like to know what's going on in their community and what you are doing in their communities. So that's a nice piece. Connecting the dots You may wonder what that means, but we should be strengthening our message that all the actions of council, and I'm focusing, the latest news releases I've been doing have been focusing on linking back to the strategic priorities, because the public needs to know that what we do as municipality happens because of those strategic priorities. So everything links back to those. Growing the economy and population, providing desirable municipal services, and governing to the best municipal practices. They all need to be connecting. Every media release, every story that we put out there needs to connect back to the why something is being done. And it's because it's the priority of council, and it's the priority of council because it's what you've heard from the residents of our community. Understanding how to use councillors. So that is something we really need to work on, and that's something I would really like to hear more from you on how we can use you in our communications more effectively. I think that it would be good to empower you to have a bigger voice, and if you want to have a community meeting for your constituents, staff can join you for support and information. If you have a post on your Facebook page that you want shared on the region's Facebook page, let me know. The internet's a big place, and I try to see a lot, but I don't see everything, so I may have missed it, and I would love to make sure that your message is getting out further. Is there something going on in your community that you really feel should have a bit of a light shone on it because it's special? I'd like to know. I can help them with news releases or advice to get their information out further. And successes in our community are important, and we'll help if we can. Communicating outside the region. I hear that one quite a lot, that people here know what's going on, but people outside may not know how great our community is. So we do have a compelling and attractive place to live, work, and play. We need to come up with unique ways to let others know what we have here. Both developers, future residents, and visitors. And brand. Branding is part of the communications messaging, and we have some work to do on determining what our unique brand is. Marketing and promotional efforts outside our day-to-day communications should reflect our brand, and that theme will be echoed in all of our communications efforts. We're a big, diverse community with many compelling features. Determining that brand that defines us is going to take a bit of work. So, this is my last slide, and it's about who communicates. All. Everybody. Together, we can make communications work. We have 10,305 residents. We have 4,745 households. Over 400 businesses, nearly 250 community groups, 50 communities. We have professional municipal staff and an engaged, connected, community-minded council of eight. There's lots of stories to tell and people to tell them to. So your ideas are welcome, and all of you talk to people every day, whether they're residents, whether they're visitors. If you're out at meetings out of our community, you're talking to people. Most of you have social media pages, and you're telling your stories and doing great things on those pages. I really like reading them, and the community does as well, because I can see how many likes, comments, and shares you're getting, which is fantastic. Together, as I said, we make communications work. So that's.
Any comments or questions by councilors?
I have an excellent presentation. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to bring up something. How to communicate with counselors and yourself and staff. My opinion of Regional Queen's staff, right from the CAO down through the departments, and also secretaries or whatever we call ourselves here, I have always had excellent communication, no problem with any communications whatsoever. So I just want you to know that's my feeling of our staff.
Thank you.
And I know that if I need to know something, I'll go and ask. If you ask the department head, you would get results, or the CAO, really feel quite confident in our staff.
Thank you.
Just so you know that. And you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
Any other councillors? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Yeah, there, this current communication strategy was revisited, revised in 2014, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, council was engaged with consultants.
Yes.
Put this together.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at this document, other than the addition of social media and technical things that are available to us, it really wasn't much different than the one we had before. You know, I mean, it was revamped and updated a little bit, but you know, we paid $15,000 to that person to come and do this.
Mm-hmm.
There were some suggestions from council at that time, and some of our new councillors were not participating in it, but there was a discussion about internal communications,
mm-hmm.
and Councillor Fisk mentioned about that, that he has no issues with that, but I mean, there has to be more in-depth internal communications with staff through CAO,
mm-hmm.
and I know it has to be through some person on staff, but I know we're doing that now. We're meeting with the CAO with our little sessions that we have once a month,
mm-hmm.
And some of that, you know, we can certainly do a little bit more, but I think internal communications to make it comfortable for counselors and staff to open up that line better, so that we know what's going on in the departments, that we get reports once in a while at
mm-hmm.
council, but you know, and we have an opportunity to go speak to each one of the staff members, but it would be good to have a session once in a while, say you know, at a meeting with the CA, with the engineering department and all these other departments,
right.
just to keep us up to date on things.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be a public, but it can just be a session with them.
That's, I like that idea.
Yeah.
I've been taking notes.
Yeah. Also in communications, we're dealing with communications within our municipality and our public
mm-hmm.
and our taxpayers. But I don't see anything, and whether this document applies to it or not, and it may be under marketing and promotions, but we have to communicate beyond Queens.
Yes.
And I've experienced that, and I think Councillor Kelly did, and we went to the UNSM workshop
mm-hmm.
for 3 days last week. It was the best experience we have had for years. We were able to communicate, we were able to network, and now I'm really pleased that we had an opportunity to do that. And there will be a formal kind of, you know, sort of a synopsis and an update on what we discovered at the regular council meeting when we have, you know, more opportunity, and
mm-hmm.
the public usually come to more council meetings than they do now with the committee of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those things are really important too, and I think we should really concentrate on doing more of that.
Okay.
Yeah. And on the website, communicating with the public on our committee meetings.
Yes.
Even though you do post, or sometimes it's posted under the agendas and that sort of thing, but I think our website has to be tweaked a lot better than what it is. It's small print, people don't often follow it through, the navigation is still quite difficult.
Okay.
We may know how to do it because we've been doing it, but I think navigation and the way it's presented from the public point of view when they actually go there, we can do a lot more improvement on that.
Okay.
And I know you're very skilled in doing those sorts of things, so you might be able to do that. That wasn't a but I know you can kind of start with
you
on this.
Councilor Frill? I have a few things, actually. The first thing is we were just handed this, the revision of the communication strategy. I think that we really need time to take all this in and see what the changes were. In 2014, you know, a lot of changes were made, changes weren't made when we felt they should have been. So I think that this needs a really good to be analyzed by all of us, and I know that it's not going anywhere today, but in order to have this conversation, this needs to be examined first before we can even, but I still have questions based on.
I've started reviewing it.
Yes.
It's not done. It's stamped under revision for the fact of the visioning exercise that the council just went through recently. The vision needs to be added. There's the EMO piece needs to be added about EMO communications. There's the council involving counselors more, that needs to be added. So it's still in a, it's not anywhere near yet being done.
Right.
So that's, I wanted to talk to you before I finish.
So before it ever gets
oh, yeah.
As a motion,
yeah.
There's lots of work that needs to be done.
I would think
like
you'll
be
coming back to Cal again.
Yeah, my intention with this is that this was a presentation on the work underway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a living, working document. We're looking for your feedback and welcome additional things. I mean, communication is something we're always going to need to change and strive to do better. So Heather's highlighted some things that we have to work towards on this. And we welcome your input. And the other one's excellent, which just helps us work towards these things.
Okay. So thank you for that. Just some questions about, in your presentation, you said less cheerleading, more information. Can you just kind of give me about that?
We hear fairly often, well, maybe not fairly often, sometimes, it feels fairly often, that we tend to put a sunny face on everything.
Awesome.
Yeah. To the point of some have complained in the past that everything that we put out is painted positive, whether it is or isn't. I'm going to scale that back a bit. It doesn't have to be all cheerleading. It can be, I'm still going to be putting positive information out there, but it doesn't have to be quite as sunny, I guess.
I think when I look at the way that you use social media and the things that they're putting out, there's some things that are really relevant. There's a lot of fluff that I feel that we can, you know, leave that to other members of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything should be relative, and it doesn't mean it has to be positive or negative. It needs to be relevant to the
mm-hmm.
conversations we're having. So I would like to see that part of it, you know, the fact that there is a bake sale or something. That there are many of places where we can get that information,
mm-hmm.
but relevant information, and especially information that the public needs prior to, such as the trees coming down, which, you know, caused a storm of, not a huge storm, but nevertheless a storm of activity. Had we done some forward prior to, with some time in between, I think you can diffuse a lot of the situations. So I think less cheerleading is a big statement that we need to really look at, and I think that's something under the communication strategy.
Okay.
What we can do better, and this goes back to Councillor McLeod, is internal communications. It really is crucial. It's always been the one thing under this previous communication strategy that I've never agreed with, that it all starts here. It all starts when somebody walks through those doors, and the people that are serving them need to be aware, and that only comes with good communication. So no matter who it is, they're on the front lines, and so we need to address that, because I think there's an opportunity for us to do that much better. And that always filters up or down, whichever the situation, because we're all on the same page, we're all ambassadors, and that will come through in our posts and our council posts and everything that goes along with it. So, and you know, we talked about this great medium that we have for communicating, and then we have things that, like the ripple effect, which, you know, last year we had 8 submissions, and that is, again, less fluff and things that are important. Those posts reach thousands of people and are shared by thousands of people. So I would think that it would gain some priority, and, you know, other counselors would be bringing people forward. Staff would be bringing people forward. We'd really encourage everybody to get involved, and then the public would get forward. So, but it seems like it's kind of plateaued, and I think in communication world, that's one that's tried and true, and we need to kind of sort that out. And then we have more people.
Thank you, Daisy.
Yes, Heather, again, I think a good starting point of where we need to be. I think our biggest challenge again is the internal, infamous, I think it is, because my wife says she hates walking around the river with me because I never make it around the river without somebody stopping me. They always got something. And I said, well, what are we doing about this? What are we doing about that? Now, I understand that I love running because nobody will stop me when I'm going. They don't bother me when I'm running. And that's look like I'm dying, they don't want to bother me. But when I'm walking, that's when they'll stop me. So what the thing is, and I don't know, and I don't want to be making it so we try to look after everything or anything, but say I'll just say Milton Bridge, if you're going to do something on Milton Bridge, I'd just like to have a little note saying, you know, we're planning to do this on this, or if you heard from TIR that they're going to do something, it's kind of nice to know rather than to say, when people will stop and say, well, I see they're up there working on this, and if I come in and say, well, yeah, we knew about that, well, then I would like to know about it. It doesn't have to be a big thing, even if we're doing it internally. We say, well, why should the council know? Because we are asked all the time.
Right.
And it's always nice to know what's going on in your area. Even if something's going on in Pine Grove Park, I'd like to know if they're going to cut down some dead trees or something. That you'd say, oh, well, what are they doing up there cutting trees down? I have no idea. Maybe need firewood. I don't know. But, you know, but the thing is that you don't want to act like you don't know anything. And that's that's never good.
Any other councillors? Councillor Kelly?
I'm communication is my world. Like, it's 100%. I think it should be a 100% job, not an 80% job or 50% job or 20% job. Communication within the Region of Queens at all levels, within the Region of Queens staff and department leaders. Communication between staff and councillors. Communication between the region and the public. And how we manage to do that. It's like number one. So for me, and I might be a bit slow at this, but just framing all of this up. So this communication strategy that you're putting out today, this is the strategy about how we're going to go forward to create this. Is that what I'm to understand? This is a strategy about how we deal with communication and what we're going to do, and this is the strategy that you're going to use to actually put together.
Some of those changes have been implemented in that.
Right. So this is a communication strategy, not a communications policy.
Right. We don't have a communications policy.
We don't have a policy. So when I first got the information for the package, I looked on the region's website. I searched for communication strategy, and I couldn't find the old that you referred to in this. Couldn't find it. So I didn't have anything to base any information on what we're currently doing.
Mm-hmm.
So this came to us today, so we haven't had time to review it. So, I mean, this is a red flag for me because it's all about communication, but we're not communicating with us, and we're supposed to have an open conversation about this today with information and whatnot, but I haven't been able to read this.
Right.
I haven't been able to read any of the previous strategies because I don't know where they are and I haven't been able to access them on the website. If they're there, I don't know. I search and I can't find things on the website when I search for them and if I don't know where to look for them. So
Councilor Kelly, if I may assist you a bit. When the election was completed and we were sworn in the 1st of November, that communication policy strategy was included in the briefing documents to all councillors.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it would be in your package.
I appreciate that. So, but this is a revision, right? So this is what you've been working on. So it would have been a nice conversation to have if we had had this prior to that. So some of the questions that I have are about our communication and the Facebook page and whatnot. When you talk about frantic Facebook page, what do you mean by frantic?
About 2 years ago, we were putting up about 20 posts a day. That's a bit of a frantic pace. I was getting people saying, you know, you're flooding my feed, you're this, you're that, because I was tasked at that point in time with every community event that I could find was going on our page. Every public meeting, everything that happened in this community that I could get my hands on, similar to your Queens County Community Calendar. That was the level of information that I was tasked with putting up. So it had a real frantic feel, because you'd go looking for it and you'd have to scroll pages and pages and pages to find the beginning of today, you know, at noon. So I have recently, in the last 2 years, I would say, that pace has gradually slowed, and now we're putting out more relevant information and letting calendars like the Queens County Community Calendar and some of the other organizations that are out there that post information, like Councilor McLeod puts hers up every Saturday of here's what you can do this weekend, letting organizations like that and people like that do that piece, and we're trying to get more direct, and occasionally I'll share something that's community that's coming up, but I'm trying to be more direct in what we're doing and more relevant, because it was a very busy feeling. Frantic may not have been the best choice of words, but it had a real heavy energy.
Just one more thing then, you know, you went through a lot of things that we actually do to let the public know what we're doing, but how do we measure that? You said that the public are more informed. I guess the better statement is we put out more information.
We do.
How do we know, how do we measure that the public are more informed?
Our Facebook page in the last 3 years has grown by 500 people, so that shows me. Things like the ripple effect post that Councillor Frelick referenced, those get over 3,000-4,000 views. Our website is getting more hits. I've had people actually tell me I know so much more now. I hear anecdotal stories, and I also hear it through some counselors that tell me that they've heard from people that they know more. So that's the way we're measuring.
So do we get any feedback on our municipal matters that we send out? Do we know if that's reaching anybody, and what we get back?
We've only had the one go. The second one it's in production right now. It should be in the mail. Should be in the mail right now. We took a break from it. It was probably a 3-year no production of it, because we were finding it was being produced twice a year at the end in paper, and then so many were being discarded, and we weren't getting great feedback on it. So we started doing it electronically for about 2 years, and then it wasn't getting a lot of hits on the website. So we reinvigorated it, changed the way it is, added the council pieces at Christmas. This one is slightly different because we're talking budget and the council updates. So it's hard to know how it's doing at this point in time, because we've only had one actually hit the street. So this one, it should be going out any day now. It should be in mailboxes. Yeah, it's in production.
Councillor Kelly, if I may, I'd like to ask our CAO if he'd like to comment briefly on the weekly updates that he's providing to councillors that started 1st of November. The information and type of things that you include the councillors in that weekly update.
Yes, I can do that. I don't know when to comment. So generally, like you say, because that was something I heard when I started, is looking for information. So I do a weekly to council on those sort of things, mostly on higher level items and economic development things. But based on the comments, I can also look to add if there's any other operational level updates that I should be sharing in those. You know, I know that, you know, I remember when I first entered the workforce, people always wanted better communications. I think it's something that we consistently strive for, and there's always going to be opportunities for us to improve. So these are constructive comments, and you know, I just made a couple of notes here for Heather and I to debrief on, so.
You only have Deputy Member 5 minutes.
Heather, I have to have your region, I say yours, but you know, the Region of Queens Facebook page, and I really like what you're doing with the, you're dealing like with the building official.
Yes.
That's a really neat little one, I like that, because people don't quite remember that, and it's opening up and communication between the community in that respect. And there's another one on there about the spring is here and it's walking season, safety tips, those sorts of things. And then you had something on there about the flag, which I happened to notice just the other day flying, mm-hmm. and I saw it was
the
a bike, so I assumed it was a bike, but, so I'm glad that you, I mean, that you posted that on there so people really understand if they go, now they'll look for it when they go
mm-hmm.
across the bridge. So that, those are things that are very appropriate
mm-hmm.
to this, and you know, I mean, leave it, as you indicated, leave it up to us or anybody else. Heather does an excellent job with her community events, you know, and we all get involved in that, and everybody
mm-hmm.
shares those, but I think you're tweaking the Facebook, and that's basically better than a web page. Everybody goes to Facebook, and you can track it more, and you
mm-hmm.
get feedback better.
Yeah.
So I like what that you changed that form.
Thank you.
It's good.
Councilor Crowley?
One of the things that we have to be careful of, and we find that we're doing, is the social media and the attempt to communicate. We tend to be guided by that, because as anyone knows, on social media you can get a lot of negative feedback, and you know, there's been instances where, you know, we've actually changed direction because of the negative feedback, and there's a really fine line between being led by negative comments, and most of the negative comments are coming out of from people that really aren't involved, they're never in this room, have never taking the time, that it's a very brave world on social media where you can say a lot of things. So I would just advise that we should be conscious of that, and we should actually learn the skill of letting a lot of that slide off, because you know, we've all been there and we've all had lots of negative things said, but you have to learn not to take it personally. And if we make decisions and motions here, we need to stand by them, then that is just, those are just comments.
Oh, yeah.
And not to change the direction that we think. So somehow I think that needs to be built into the communication strategy, is because there's plenty of times that, you know, we wanted to write something on there. We're unsure as counselors how to write, how to respond. We know the proper information. It's very, well, I'll say the word scary to put that out there, because that can lead to a backlash of unwanted comments. But we still, and this whole communication strategy was on our list 4 years ago, because we didn't know how to respond to instances like that, or when somebody comes up to us in public, or when we're still trying to work through those areas. And it's actually got a little bit worse, because all that is so readily available to so many people. So I'd like to see that become a part of the strategy. And I know there's a spokesperson, I know that there's, it's said, but we're the ones on the streets and the stores and walking around the river. And we have to be prepared to know how to deal with that.
I would suggest that any counselor that has any thoughts on the communication strategy draft revision that we were presented with today would be in touch with Heather or Richard or both, and express those issues, and we'll work through this internally until we have a document that's 99% there. Deputy Member Pyle?
As important as it is in communicating, is it possible for us all to meet with Heather some point and just go over it, because we all know that, you know, where our thoughts are at the time, rather than on one-on-one.
I would prefer that you refine as much as you can with Heather and the CAO before we sit down and have a bigger meeting. I have no problem at all to sit down and discuss the issues, but I'd like to have it more refined before we do that, in the interest of time at that meeting, rather than initially start and work through everything It'd be nice to have some head start on issues of concern to councilors being aired. Does that make sense to you, Deputy Mayor?
No.
So you'd like to take a day to go through this?
Or a couple hours or something.
Well, it may stretch to more than a couple hours if all those issues can't be passed on earlier.
Yeah, but it's important. Yeah. I mean, we all have different input, and to do it this morning is rather difficult, but we kind of get the story, but I'd like to have that session, a workshop or whatever you want to refer to it as.
Councilor Bailey?
I agree with Councilor McLeod. The last time in 2014 when we did this, we had kind of open session with staff and council, and but it never really garnered the kind of response that, or the information that we needed at the front. So this is our next kick at the can. We want to make very, very sure that we're addressing all the issues. And as Councilor McLeod said, we all have different issues. So for us to be, my issues may be the same as hers, to go to Heather, we're just wasting Heather's time. But if we get it all out up front, and then we can fine-tune this so this is 100%. I don't want it 99%. I want it 100% because this has been an issue for me from since the day we passed it. So we need to know that we've covered all situations. So I'm in complete agreement that we should be all sitting together to start the process.
So I'll pass it on to the CAO. You heard comments?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yep, we'll debrief on that. No problem.
Thank you.
Anything additional on this issue? Any other councilors? Okay, so we'll leave it at that for today.